Hey guys, and welcome back to the Salt Not Sweetener podcast. I'm your host, Danielle Townsend, and I hope you guys have had a wonderful week. I hope you've had a blessed week. Let me tell y'all, the Lord has been dropping some wisdom on me this week. And there was a topic that we're going to go in on today that I know a lot of people need to hear, okay? Because I have needed to hear it. As someone who was a retired crash out, if y'all have been listening to my podcast for a while, you may have listened to the episode titled Crash Out, where I have admitted firsthand that I did not always handle things in a Christ-like way. Before I gave my life to Christ, I was a very petty person. Before I gave my life to Christ, I wanted my lick back. I wanted to get revenge. I would lean into the things that people were saying about me, not because they're true, but because I wanted to prove a point. I was a petty person, and the Lord worked in my heart. He taught me how to handle things differently. And I had to go through a lot of trials. I had to go through a lot of hardships. I had to face a lot of opposition for this to be ingrained in me. And our topic today is how you respond matters. How you respond to opposition matters. How you respond to gaslighting matters. How you respond to slander, to lies, to deceit, to wicked deeds matters. How you respond can actually be what leads a person closer to Jesus. Now, I want to be very clear in saying this because I know in the past I struggled with a perfectionism thing where I would look at the way I handled situations and be like, that wasn't Christ-like enough. And I would feel a guilt and I would feel a weight. And I just want to start by telling y'all that you need to remember that God is graceful and He is merciful. He doesn't expect you to handle things perfectly because He knows that you are not Jesus. Okay? He knows that you are not Jesus. But he does want us to be more Christ-like. Okay? So if you right now are looking and thinking, wow, I didn't handle that situation with very much grace. I didn't respond to that person in the Christ-like way. I let my anger get the best of me. I let these things happen. It's good that you recognize that. And take that to God and ask him to help you with that. Understand that when you ask for forgiveness, you are forgiven. So, first thing, take that to God, ask for forgiveness, have that weight lifted off of you, but then ask God to help you be better and do better. This isn't about condemning you for not handling things well in the past. This is recognizing the areas where you can improve and asking God to help you improve. I want to start off reading some scripture to y'all today. First Peter, we're in First Peter chapter 2. Yeah, let's do chapter 2, verse 11 and verse 12. Dear friends, I urge you as strangers and exiles to abstain from sinful desires that wage war against the soul. Conduct yourselves honorably among the Gentiles, so that when they slander you as evildoers, they will observe your good works and will glorify God on the day he visits. Notice how scripture here says, it doesn't say when, or it doesn't say if they slander you, it says when they slander you, right? It's not about if opposition is going to come. It's not about if lies, if deceit, if gaslighting comes. It's when lies come, when slander comes. When deceit comes, when gaslighting comes. It's not an if, it's a when. I'm telling y'all today, especially like when you are freshly the first couple years out of like leaving your before Christ life behind and stepping into your life as a new creation, your past is really going to try to come back and grab you by the ankle and drag you down. I'm just going to be so blunt about that. Old habits are going to try to come in and pull you back. Old thought processes, old ways of dealing with things, people reminding you of what you used to be, who you used to be, what you used to do, how you used to respond. You'll have the old friends popping in. You'll have the family members that you haven't talked to in way back when. Those things that you thought were dead and buried coming back to try to grab you. I want to make this so clear. The enemy, the devil, is the lowercase g god of this world. So the things that glorify, that the world glorifies, obviously are not glorifying the Heavenly Father, right? They're things that produce separation and lead you away from the Heavenly Father. So of course the world is going to hate you. The world is influenced by wickedness. The world is influenced by the kingdom of darkness. And what does the kingdom of darkness, the devil, does not want you spending eternity with the Heavenly Father, but he also doesn't want you leading other people closer, right? So when he sees you, when the devil sees you pursuing a relationship with Christ, accepting him as your Lord and Savior, the devil wants to break that down. He wants to get you to lose faith. He wants to get you to lose heart. And he wants you to lead other people astray. There are so many people who stay away from Christianity or have a misunderstanding or a bad idea of Christianity because of people who called themselves Christians but weren't living a life Christ-like. Now, I'm not saying that they weren't perfect. None of us are perfect. But there are people who call themselves Christians, who are representatives of Christ Jesus, but do not show the love of Jesus, but do not respond in Christ-like ways that sow seeds of discourse and division and hate, that lean into greed, that lean into pride, that lean into ego. And those are the people that give a bad rap. Now, I'm not saying that Christ, God-fearing Christians can't be misunderstood, because we're misunderstood all the time. We literally just read scripture. You could be doing the most Christ-like thing, having the best intention, and someone who does not have eyes to see or ears to hear, someone who isn't able to identify Jesus, someone who is influenced by the world, someone whose perception is skewed, will misunderstand what you're doing. I have experienced it firsthand. When I was doing something that was just meant to show the love of Jesus and also patience and waiting on God, and someone who was really in the world, really rejecting God at the time, really had a different perception and a different view of what I was doing. You know, they were in a space of twisting what I was doing into wickedness and evil. And although I knew that wasn't what it was, I had to accept that that was the way they were seeing it. And I couldn't combat that with my words. I couldn't combat that with explaining myself. I couldn't even like create results for myself because I was waiting on God, right? What I had to do was just continue to show up through my good works and living more Christ-like. You know, the interesting thing, y'all, when I had people slandering me and falsely accusing me and doing all these things, gossiping about me, and I asked God how to handle those people, he told me to pray for them and actually to serve them. There was a time period where I was made to serve them, where it was like, if they need help with something, still help them. If they have questions about God, still answer their questions. They're going through this emotional thing, show them the love of Jesus. It wasn't a time when I was told to, you know, shake the dust off my feet and turn around. There are times like that, right? Scripture also says, don't cast your pearls before swine. There are times when you are not meant to stick around and continue to talk and explain and do all these things, when it's going to be more harmful than helpful. But there are also times when God will call you to continue to minister to those people, to show them the love of Jesus. There are some people who are not going to pick up a Bible, and they're not going to know the love of Jesus through reading it in scripture, that they're not going to go to the sermons, that the Bible that they're going to read is you and how you live your life, that they are observing you. And as a follower of Christ, we are called to make disciples. We are called to be fishers of men, right? We are called to show other people the love of Jesus, to bring other people to the kingdom of heaven. And that's not always by just reading scripture and like speaking the gospel with our mouths. Oftentimes it's ministering to people through how we live our lives, how we choose to respond. And whoever you are today, I believe you need to hear this, that how you respond to opposition really speaks a lot to people who are unbelievers. Because when you choose to match energy, when you choose to, okay, well, I'll meet them with the same negative words, I'll meet them with the same sarcasm, I'll meet them with the same hatefulness and all that. When the unbeliever looks at you and looks at that person, they see no difference. Which means they don't see the difference that accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior makes into your life. Now, when they see that person with all of the hate and all of the slander, the envy, the jealousy, all that spewing out, and they see you matching it with love and kindness, good works, obviously you're holding boundaries, but you're showing them the love of Jesus. People aren't going to be able to help but notice a difference in the response there. And sure, in the short term, maybe their perception is skewed on the situation. But what is done in the dark will come to light, and trust in God's timing. He will reveal. He will reveal the truth. He will reveal who was the antagonizer and the gaslighter. He will reveal who was just trying to show love, who was just trying to show kindness. And it's not always in the time that we want him to. I want to be so clear with that. God doesn't move on our time clock, y'all. He moves in his own divine timed, his own divine plan. Because when we think about what we want and what we want God to do, we're usually thinking about ourselves and how it will just affect us, right? But God usually aligns things to impact like 20 people at the same time. I can't tell y'all how many times that one blessing from God in my life ended up being a blessing for like 10 other people and a lesson for like 20 other people on top of that. And God will align things so it's not just benefiting you, it's benefiting all these other people. And at the end of the day, it points back to the kingdom of heaven. The blessings and all these wonderful things. Yes, God loves us and he blesses us because he loves us, you know, but he also gives us these blessings because it's going to point back to him and glorify him and lead people closer to him. What's the point of blessing you with something that isn't going to point back to him, that isn't going to lead other people closer to him? Because then what's it going to point to? Yourself, your works, the world, the world's ways? God divinely orchestrates things in ways that we could never think of. And I want to read to y'all some more scripture. Matthew chapter 5. We're going to start in verses 13. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt should lose its taste, how can it be made salty? It's no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city situated on a hill cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but rather on a lampstand, and it gives light for all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. When we face opposition, y'all, it is so tempting to dim our light. It is so tempting to pipe down and to quiet down. That is actually a tactic of the enemy. Have you ever noticed that, like, when you start getting that fire and you start spreading the gospel and you start like putting yourself out there more, sharing your testimony, leading other people closer to Christ, just being a light, showing the love of Jesus, when all of a sudden you start giving people more biblical advice, you start pointing people closer to Christ, and before you know it, there's some kind of opposition that pops up. Maybe someone makes a rude comment or a sarcastic comment. Maybe someone misunderstands you. You know, maybe you get one of those hate comments on social media. Maybe you have someone say something and like it kind of messes with your relationship with the person. Whatever it is, you're spreading the gospel, you're sharing the light of Jesus Christ, right? We are a dwelling place for the Holy Spirit. And the light of the Holy Spirit shines through. when you're ministering to people, when you're speaking to people, when you're doing the good work, showing the love of Jesus, your light, whether you even mean for it to shine, the light, I don't even want to say your light, the light of Jesus Christ within you illuminates and shines through, right? And that light, interesting thing, also reveals a lot of things that are working in darkness, right? That's why you'll see, like, oftentimes when your light is like, because the light exposes the works that are done in the dark, right? That's why you'll see sometimes people who are operating out of spaces of evilness and wickedness that do not want to be near you, that might want to attack you, but they don't want to be around you too long. Because when they're around you too long and when they're in your light for too long, their bad deeds start being exposed. Have you ever noticed when you're around someone who is living very unchristlike and you're having a lot more conversations and, you know, you start giving advice, and the advice that you start to give, the biblical advice, starts to reveal some of the ways that they're not living a life obedient to the Lord. They start to feel conviction, or maybe people start comparing your two lives when they're around you too long. Yeah, darkness sometimes will actually flee that light out of fear of being recognized and revealed. So they'll attack and they'll dip out. And it's so important that when you are being attacked, you do not dim that light. And I'm speaking from experience. There were times where I was already going through like a lot of, I was already going through a lot of uneasiness in my life. And it was times when God was calling me to step out in faith and really let the light of Jesus Christ shine. And it wasn't always met with love. There were times when it was met with opposition and animosity, and that was a testing of my faith, and that was used to produce steadfastness. We know that God will allow us to face opposition. He will allow us to face trials. He will allow us to face testings of our faith because it will produce steadfastness. It will produce more faith. It will produce something in us to be able to carry the calling better, to be able to handle the next assignment we step into better. Sometimes when God calls us into a thing and he confirms for us to walk into it, we usually assume we're just walking into a blessing that's going to feel good. Sometimes God is actually confirming for us to step into a testing. He is confirming for us to step into a trial, knowing that it will produce something in us that he is later on going to be able to bless, or that thing being produced in us is going to be a blessing in itself, a blessing to others. But it is so important not to let the opposition scare you. Because I remember when I was first like getting back on social media and starting to share my testimony and starting to spread the gospel, there were so many different things popping up: opposition, doubts, fear. And I would go like a week or two where I would like pipe down and I would stop talking about Jesus as much. There were seasons when I would stop ministering to people that I know God has really called me to minister to because I didn't like their reactions. It didn't make me feel, it wasn't encouraging. I didn't feel like those people wanted to hear what I had to say. I didn't feel like those people wanted to hear about Jesus. So I didn't want to talk about Jesus to them anymore. I was sick of being rejected, but I needed to face that rejection. So that way, when I'm rejected, I don't care and I keep going. The way even, y'all, I am able to speak now with the lack of fear is nothing compared to 2 months ago. If y'all listen to my first episode, I honestly feel when I listen to my earlier episodes on the podcast, y'all, the way I word things and the authority I speak with is a lot different now compared to then because of things that God has had me face. And when I was speaking then, I thought I was speaking with a lot of authority. So it's wild how God, and it's beautiful at the same time, how he will use these trials and these things we face to produce things in us. But someone needs to hear that today. Do not let the opposition make you fearful of speaking up, of letting the light shine through you. When you choose to let the light shine anyway, when you refuse to dampen your light, that's when the light is able to make an impact. The enemy is attacking because he knows that what is about to happen or what is going on is impactful. So he can't actually stop it. He can't stop God's plan, but he can get you to delay. That's what he tries to do, right? That's what that fear and the opposition is trying to get you to stop before you break through, trying to get you to stop before that person sees the light, trying to get you to stop before God's will is executed in the situation. And sure, you'll go through seasons where you don't keep pursuing and you back down. And God already knows that you're going to do that. And I'm not saying that that's the good thing to do or the right thing to do, but I'm saying that as people who are going through sanctification, who are growing and are working, that is something that will likely happen on your process. Is you're in a time where God wants you to push through, but you don't have the spiritual maturity yet. You haven't learned that lesson yet. And he allows you to go through this to learn the lesson. So that way when you reflect and you sit down, you're like, dang, I shouldn't have piped down. I shouldn't have quieted down. I should have kept going. I should have asked God for the strength. I should have prayed that the Holy Spirit speaks through me. And you know to pray for that. A lot of us feel defeated when we go into a trial like that or a testing and we feel like we failed. But God already allowed us to walk in knowing how we were going to respond and react, which means that he knew that there was something that you could learn from this, that there was something that could be grown from this. There's a reason he's allowed you to experience that. And you have to pray to him that you overcome whatever guilt, condemnation feeling. I'm speaking as someone who I used to have that perfectionism thing where when I felt like I didn't ace a test, I felt like I didn't get through that trial or that tribulation, I felt like I could have done better. I was always just like pounding on myself instead of praying to God, like, what do I need to be seeing in this? And I would eventually pray that prayer, but my first reaction would usually be kind of like a beating myself up. God was showing me much more grace than I was showing myself. And I want to remind y'all today that God is a graceful God, a merciful God, a loving God. And as people who are walking this walk with Christ for the first time, God plans for our mistakes. He plans for our hiccups. Now, that's not saying that we make peace in that place of mistake and we just keep that cycle going and going. We're meant to learn from the mistakes, but don't let making a mistake or stumbling end your walk. Let it be kind of your guide, right, to where you need to focus and where you need to work on and what you need to pray about more. But I want to go back to this part of scripture that I just read, where it says, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. And that relates to that first scripture we read, right? That when you do good, other people cannot help but see the good that you're doing. And they're going to be able to see the source difference is Jesus Christ. When you are openly glorifying him, that adds on to it, right? You don't even have to guess. When you're saying, hey, I do this because of Jesus. I know that there's so many other people out there who are dealing with this because this is something that I faced as a follower of Christ. That there are people in my life that I want to see come to Jesus and that I'm praying for their salvation, but they do not want to open a Bible. They do not. They reject the invites to church. They don't want to hear about Jesus. They actively shut him down. And how many times I've prayed, like, God, I just want them to know you. I want them to know Jesus. They think they know you, but they don't. And I remember praying, God, like, I've tried sharing scripture. I've tried inviting them to church. I've tried doing all these things. They don't want to hear any of it. And the Lord illuminated to me that the way to minister to them is by how I live my life. I cannot tell you, I have had so many opportunities to match anger and slander and frustration. There are a lot of times when I was, you know, they kind of hit me with backhandedness and revenge and all of these things. And I had the opportunity to just like block and walk away. I had the opportunity, and in some cases, God will call you to love them from a distance. This was not one of those situations. I had so many opportunities to tell other people what was going on and make them look like the bad guy right then and there. I had so many opportunities to say something rude back, to spill a truth, to do all those things. But instead, I met them with grace and love and mercy and kindness. And that looked different. Sometimes that was me just having a short response and saying something like, hey, I understand. You know, I hope you have a good day. Instead of cursing them, blessing them. Sometimes it looked like they needed help and there was no one else to help them in that situation. And I went in and I helped them after God had led me to help them. Okay, I prayed on that one of, hey, God, am I overstepping on the lesson or do you want me involved here? And he showed me to be involved there. I was ministering and serving the people who had just finished cursing me and actively trying to sabotage my life. There were some people that like actively took steps to try to make my life harder and more complicated and tried to increase my suffering. And God still called me to bless them. God still called me to serve them when they need to help them when they needed help, to love them. And he revealed to me that that is ministering to them, because that to them is showing them the unconditional love of Jesus that I experienced. Because in their mind, like, it's hard to really grasp, why am I continuing to show love and kindness and all these things when by now I should be resentful and hateful and angry and doing all these things like everyone else would. And they know I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. They know that I center my life around following Christ. And they can't help but see that difference in me of who I used to be versus who I am now following Jesus and my responses. And that is what's going to minister to this person. It's not the words. It's my choosing to show love when it doesn't make sense to show love. It's my choosing to do good deeds when it doesn't make sense to do good deeds. And I want to be so clear that there are other people in my life who created suffering and all of these things that God did not call me to minister like this to. There are other people who God had made it very clear to pray for these people consistently. And I still pray for these people. I pray for their salvation. I pray that the scabs fall off their eyes. I pray that the deceptive voices are removed from their lives. I pray that they are surrounded with Christ-like community. I pray that they know the love of Jesus and healing and forgiveness. Where it has been so revealed, like, I have to pray for those people. But the Lord has made it very clear that if you allowed them in your life on a daily basis, there would be a lot of damage that God doesn't intend for me to have to deal with. That I would be kind of opening a door for the devil to take root in my life. Not calling that person the devil, but the devil is operating and moving through them. He's influencing their choices. And that I would be opening a door that God didn't intend to be open. That there would be suffering that I would face that he didn't intend for me to face and learn from. That I have already learned. I don't need to go through that again. Like, there are people that God has really showed me, pray for them. When you have the opportunity to gossip and speak negative about them, don't do it. When you hear that they're doing it about you, bless them. But they weren't people that he called me to, like, call up and still check in on and do all those things. They weren't people who were supposed to have a foot in the door of my life. And what's interesting is the people that God has called me to minister, there is even a little bit of a distance there with those people, right? There's definitely a lot more of an ability to communicate and back and forth. But God has really revealed to me and really enforced in my life, bad company corrupts good morals. And that is, I believe that's 1 Corinthians. Bad company corrupts good morals. And I had seen those people that I minister to now, they're at a little bit of a distance. I mean, they're not the advice I listen to. They're not the people I vent to. They're not the people that I look for guidance and instruction on, because where they're going to point me isn't closer to Christ. It's closer to the worldly things and the worldly desires, right? And if I had them as my close confidants, if I had them as my people that I listen to their advice, I listen to their criticism, I listen to their guidance or their instruction, they would be criticizing me away from Christ. They would be guiding me away from Christ to things that serve the flesh. The good morals I have established, and I'd actually seen it in the past when I developed closeness with those people, was starting to be kind of tainted. Some of the good rooted things that God had established in me were starting to be kind of like pulled at and picked at, and things that at one time I was really firm in my belief in, I was starting to be shaky in, and I was starting to get lukewarm in areas. It's important that we are not unequally yoked with believers. And that's definitely important in relationships, romantic relationships, but that goes into business relationships and friendships and things like that. We are to minister to people, y'all. Jesus sat with sinners. He said that it's not the healthy that need a doctor, it's the sick. It is the people who are caught up in their sin. It is the people who are, you know, the unbelief and all these things that need ministered to. But you need to trust God in the boundaries that He is calling you to set, and you need to obey them. I've seen firsthand what happens when you don't obey those boundaries because you want to please, because you care about how you're being perceived. And next thing you know, your boundaries are being moved, your morals are being corrupted. How can you minister to someone if you are not even like kind of a pure space? And I'm not saying perfect, I'm saying a pure space to pull from. How can you pour into people if your water is like tainted? And I honestly wasn't able to minister to these people well until I was not in their daily life, under their daily influence. And I was more someone that they could call up occasionally. And that is where I feel we're kind of shifting into right now, is trusting the boundaries that God is calling you to set, and ask Him the boundaries that you need to be setting, and understand that they are different for each person. There are going to be some people that you're called to minister to, and there are going to be some people that you're called to pray for. And they can see the way that you respond and all these things, but you're not supposed to be up in their daily life. And you have to trust God on the reasoning for that. I was also one of those people that I didn't want to just take God's word for. I wanted to know why. And the knowing why will lead you to do things that you don't need to be doing. It'll lead you down rabbit holes. It'll lead you to making assumptions. It'll lead you to false sets of beliefs, coming into agreement with things that you don't need to be coming into agreement with. Trust in what God has said to you, and pray that He reveals to you why. And if He does, He does. And if He doesn't, accept that He hasn't for a reason. And understand too that maybe He will, just not yet. There are some things I didn't understand why God was calling me to that. And it was like 6, 7, 8 months later, He reveals to me why He called me to walk away from that person, place, or thing. And I'm like, oh gosh, that makes so much sense. I wouldn't have understood it then, but I understand it now. And we know that. And I believe this is John chapter 16. Is it John chapter 16 or John chapter 15? Where not everything is revealed to us at once. God so lovingly will withhold revealing certain things to us because we are not able to like completely handle and conceptualize everything. If we were told the full plot, the full plan, we would probably run away out of fear. When I think back to when I gave my life to Christ, there was a lot of warfare that came with it after. And I will be the first to say this, that I don't know. Like if I, in that moment, I was in such a vulnerable space when I gave my life to Christ and there's a fire for the Lord. If He would have said, you're going to face this hardship and this thing, and there's going to be divisions and this and all this pain and all these things are going to come from you obeying me, there is a good chance I may have disobeyed some of the things He was calling me to do out of fear. My faith wasn't built in Jesus at that time. Like I hadn't seen Him do all these wonderful things. That was like really, I was really new in my relationship with Christ. And if I knew I was going to face, because I had to face some of the things that I dreaded and feared the most in life. And if I would have known that my obedience to God was going to lead me to face those things, there's a good chance I would have ran away. There's a good chance I would have tried to tweak things and do things my own way that wouldn't have been God's way. And I know even now there are things that he's calling me to that I'm not seeing everything that comes along with them, because there's some things that out of fear I may delay and I may avoid. And that's not just for new Christians, that is for seasoned Christians. That's for people who are elders, people who have been following Christ for 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years. That they still aren't getting the full picture, because God knows what they can and what they can't handle at that time. He knows what is beneficial and what would no longer be beneficial. That is a loving father right there, to not overwhelm you or overload you with more information than needed. Glory be to God. And you have to be careful when it comes to that temptation for information. I've shared this in the past, y'all. That was one of the things that, and this was way before I gave my life to Christ, I was a tarot card reader and I was in New Age spirituality, and I fell for the same temptation that Eve fell for in the garden. You know, she was told, bite into this fruit and your eyes will be opened. You'll be like God. You'll be able to discern between good and evil. That's the big thing with God, is he's all knowing. You'll get knowledge that you don't have. You'll be able to tell the difference between things. And what really pulled me into tarot cards when I got into it was I hated the lack of knowledge I felt like I had. I felt like I was always done unjustly. And I felt like if I would have been able to just like ask if this was a good relationship, if I would have been able to just see this person's intention ahead of time or all these things, I could have avoided this situation entirely. I could have avoided this pain and suffering entirely. I could have done this and gotten ahead. I could have done this. I went to it at the root for a sense of control after feeling like I was being dealt unjustly for so long. I felt like it was an open door for me to like, I can get one up. I can get ahead. I can do these things. I can avoid pain and suffering and all these things, which isn't true. I actually opened the door for more pain and suffering, because what that is, divination is demonic, point blank period. It's not of God, and you're opening doors to the devil. Whether you believe that you are or not, you are. You're coming into agreement with demonic words, because the person you're talking to, the spirits you're talking to, isn't God. It's demonic spirits, monitoring spirits. Of course, they have information. They monitor you. They watch you. But they don't actually know your future or anything. So when you come into agreement with their false prophecies and their false words, their deception, you're giving them legal access to hurt you, to oppress you, to do these things in your life. They don't actually know what's going to happen, but they want you to come into agreement to make it much easier for them to do those things in your life, to give them legal access to you. There are multiple different stories, especially in the Old Testament, where when people are living obedient to God, it's hard for the enemy to attack them and get at them. It's when people are living in disobedience, it's when they're giving into sin, giving into things of flesh, like witchcraft, like divination, that there's more access for the enemy to have victory over them. The enemy can legally get to them. They don't have that same protection of God because they have open doors. They have chinks in their armor. And I'm not saying that when you obey God, like, you should just always be protected. There are people who were very, very good on their works that still face suffering. As we said in the beginning of this episode, God uses that suffering to produce steadfastness and endurance. Actually, y'all, suffering is a way for us to connect with Jesus Christ more. He came here and he went through suffering that he didn't deserve. Mockery, slander. How many times was he called a blasphemer? How many times did people say he was lying when he said he was the Son of God? How many times were people painting him out to be who he wasn't? He literally carried on his body the wounds. So when we experience just an ounce of that here on earth, of belittling, of suffering, of pain, on the behalf of Jesus Christ, meaning when we are doing things in Jesus' name, and we are facing unjust suffering, we are actually able to partake in what Jesus partook in. We're actually able in that moment to experience a closeness with him. We are experiencing what he experienced. Consider it a great joy when you face suffering of all kinds. So I want to be so clear that like your good works doesn't mean you're never going to suffer. God will still allow you to face trials and testing and things like that. But I will say that your refusal to open up demonic doors, your refusal to participate in things that you know are sin, will give the devil a lot less legal access to you. Will allow you to see God's promises fully. When I was a new age, I was so confused why weapons warming against me appear to be prospering. And once I gave my life to Christ and I was covered in the blood of Jesus and I started obeying him and walking in his ways, I started seeing a protection that I didn't think was possible. I realized I didn't need the evil eye bracelets. I didn't need the sage. I didn't need the crystals. I didn't need any of that. And I was like, wow, the weapons that formed against me, I'm actively seeing them not prosper. Like, it's pretty quick that I see God actually flip the situation around and all these different things. And I really understood. It was like, I looked at, well, what's different in my life? And it's like, well, I was trusting in Jesus to protect me instead of these other things. And the big thing is I was surrendering control and I was obeying God's word. He told me no divination, no divination, no witchcraft, no witchcraft. Forgive, I forgave. Pray for these people, I'm praying for them. Not to sow magic. It says in Ezekiel, woe to you who sow those magic bands on your wrists. Woe to y'all who are wearing those evil eye bracelets, who are wearing those crystal bracelets, those enchanted jewelry that you think is for protection. And you're saying, how could this be hurtful? It's just protection. You're relying on something outside of Christ. All you need is the blood of Jesus. And the fact that you're unwilling to walk in that means you don't believe that. It was a big leap of faith for me when I threw out all my crystals and threw out all the bracelets and everything like that. But when I started closing the open doors I had to the enemy, the protection I saw was unmatched. God flipping things and using them for my good, it was unmatched. It was nothing I'd ever seen when I was in New Age. And I thought I saw some real things. I realized everything that I was seeing in New Age and all that was counterfeit. It wasn't actually from God. The devil can appear to bless you too. The devil will give you things too. Remember, he offered to give Jesus everything if Jesus would just bow down and submit to him. And Jesus said no. Jesus quoted scripture back at him. A lot of the people that we see having, how many times is it referred to, especially like in Psalms and Proverbs, where the wicked appear to be winning? Like the wicked appear to be living good lives. They appear to be blessed. But the end result that they're going to face is death. It's not these things that they're receiving for doing wicked deeds aren't from God. I want to be so clear. The devil only borrows to give. He can't create things. But a lot of the people that you see who appear to have success and all these things for doing wicked things, that blessing isn't from God. That's encouragement from the enemy. And if you have to sin to get it, you're going to have to sin to keep it. So before you're jealous or envious or thinking, oh, well, maybe it would just be easier to do that, you recognize that now they have to continue to live in sin to keep that. They have to continue to live apart from God to keep that. And the devil doesn't just stop. Once he has you there, he's going to push the boundary further. He's going to up the ante. That's why you see a lot of people increasing in the sin lifestyle they live. In order to get more and more and more, they go further and further and further away. And all of those people, it's possible, most definitely, for them to give their life to Christ and come back. But it's hard. It's like you're getting on a train and you're going for the further away you get. It is hard to work your way back. It's possible. Jesus will do it with anybody. I was in New Age for years. I had left the church for years. I was so far away. I had committed so many sins I didn't ever think I was going to commit. And Jesus brought me back and is using me here today. But I am telling y'all that the further away you get, it is hard to get back, to work back. Because all those things that now those people have, they have to be willing to let go of. Because when you switch sides, when you say, I am done serving the kingdom of darkness, I'm going to serve the kingdom of heaven, you're going to have to let go of like everything that the kingdom of darkness has given you. Because see, here's the thing, is the devil, he doesn't love you. He's not an all-loving father. And when you try to walk away and give your life to Christ, he'll start hurting you. He'll start pulling these things away from you to get you to stay with him. I remember when I was trying to give up tarot card reading and trusting in God to provide for me. Like, there was a lot of, I'll just say this, there was a lot of meanness I was getting when I started, because I was so used to handling people like petty. When I started handling people the Jesus way, and when I stopped reading tarot cards, and when I stopped doing those things, there were people that the devil used to use to bless me that would buy readings from me and all these things, and I thought were cool, that all of a sudden like flipped. And it was like a meanness. It was like a, you owe us. There was guilt. There was like all of these things to try to pull me back. When you try to walk away from the kingdom of darkness, he is going to start trying to pull things to make it uncomfortable for you to leave, to make it scary for you to leave, to say you can't leave, your mind. But if you put your faith in Jesus Christ, his blood breaks any and all of that. Those demonic agreements, broken. I have seen it happen. I have experienced it. But you also have to think that people grow accustomed to that. They grow accustomed to whatever fame, money, wealth that they've gotten from it, whatever things that they desire. Being a Christian is literally like a big thing of following Christ, is denying yourself, is taking up your cross and following Jesus. And that is the opposite of what the devil gives you whatever your heart desires. He wants to give you over to your fleshly desires and keep you controlled by that. So when you're used to living that lifestyle and you turn to Christ, like, I will be so for real with y'all, it's not easy. But that is also an opportunity for your faith in Jesus to grow. When you choose to, despite what the devil's doing, despite his tactics, despite all of that, continue to put your faith in Jesus, and you see how he shows up, you see what he does, faith unmatched. Y'all, when I walked away from tarot card reading, when I walked away from all that, when I walked away from smoking and drinking, and I was putting my faith in Christ, and I was waiting on him to move mountains and to move me back to Indiana and to bring me provision and to provide food. At the time, I didn't even know where I was going to eat. Do y'all understand that? Like, I was waiting on God to provide me with food. I was waiting on God to provide me with a phone. My phone bill was about to run up. I was waiting on God to provide me with like cat food to feed my cat. And if God didn't come through, I wasn't going to be able to take care of myself. And it was while I was waiting on God to come through. I had so many temptations from the enemy. Like, there were literally people coming in that were saying, I'll give you money right now if you sin. I was offered provision to sin. I was offered what I thought I was waiting on God from. I was offered the shortcut. I was offered the immediate satisfaction. But it required me to go against God's word. It required me to sin. It required me to go back to my old ways. There was one person who said, you can just do it right now and you can get right tomorrow. You can do the bad thing one time and then get right tomorrow. You don't have to start today. You can start tomorrow. And in hearing all that, I knew all that went against God's word. And that actually encouraged me to put my faith in God more. I remember thinking to myself, if the devil is trying this hard to get me to go back to my old ways, God is about to come through, and he's about to come through exceedingly and abundantly. And guess what he did? And now those experiences, although those were really painful to go through at the time, testimony. And I was able to see how God showed up. God showed up. I continued to stay rooted in him and put my faith in him, and God showed up. And I remember someone asked me, it was later on, and I was definitely a lot more in on my walk with Christ, and they could not understand fasting and self-denial. And they looked at me and they said, I can't understand how you can worship God that would deprive yourself, what God would call you to do that. And I remember my response to them just being, he showed up every single other time. I do it because he has shown me. Like, it says in his, I remember saying, it says in his word that we are called to deny ourselves. Prayer, fasting. We are meant to do this. We are called to, but I have also seen him move mountains. I have seen him do amazing things in that act of obedience. I wasn't shaken, because I had seen God move in my times of lack enough, and in my times of denying self enough. That doesn't matter what doubt someone was about to speak at me. I knew that God can and will use it. And it'll look different every time. Y'all, that is what the seasons of testing will do for you, is they will literally give you a rapport So that way later on, when you're facing a situation, you're able to look back and be like, well, God showed up in all these other times, so I know he will. It's a testimony to share with unbelievers. Do not, I know the testing and all the trials, the tribulations, they produce a weariness, but I'm telling you today to get poured into from God, get your strength from God, and understand that he will use these things for your good. Don't get angry at God. Don't curse God. Don't turn back to the world. Don't be conformed to the world around you. Lean into God. If you're in the process, I know people who are listening to this, there are people who listen to this podcast are in all different steps in their walk. There are some people who have been walking with the Lord for like 20 years that listen to this podcast, where it's like they have been through a lot of this. There are people who are unbelievers who are listening to this podcast. There are people who are lukewarm in their faith and feel convicted at some of the things I say. There are people who are right now on fire for God and are going through these steps. There are people right now who are listening to this podcast that are actively trying to leave the kingdom of darkness and are being attacked. I know that this episode is going to minister to people on so many different like areas in their walk with Christ. And I know that we have like such a great mishmash of people that listen to this podcast that are in all different spaces and all different steps. And if you're that person that right now is trying to walk away, you are new in your walk with Christ, and the devil is trying to grab you by the ankle, stay rooted in the word. Stay rooted in your faith. Pray that God gives you a clear mind. Pray that he gives you an understanding. Use prayer as your steering wheel and not your spare tire, meaning the decisions that you're making now. Use prayer to guide even the small things. The jobs you're sending an application in for, pray about it. The scripture you decide to read today, pray about it. Use prayer to guide you. Before you make a judgment call on somebody, before you react in that way, pray on what you're supposed to be seeing. Pray that God reveals the truth to you. Pray that you respond in a Christ-like way. And what I mean by spare tires, there's lots of times where people just do whatever they want and then they pray, hey, God, bless this decision, bless the situation. Or when things go wrong is when they turn to God and say, God, please fix this. God, please help me. God, please get me out. Prayer cannot be your spare tire. Prayer needs to be your guidance. God says, literally in the Our Father prayer, give us this day our daily bread. We are supposed to go to him daily for guidance. It's not daily for like, hey, God, fix all this. I messed up doing it on my own. Yes, we are to repent, but you should be going for your guidance and your instruction. That is how I got to this point, y'all, is by praying every day that God guides my steps and softens my heart and changes my heart. There is a humbling that needs to happen of recognizing that what you think is right isn't what God calls right. What you think is good isn't what God says is good. And when you are able to shut down, okay, even though I feel this way, God, I want you to change my heart. I've always said that one of the best prayers I've ever prayed, and I prayed it every day to God, is God, take desires out of my heart, take beliefs, take things that are in my heart right now that are wicked and not from you, remove them and replace them with desires that align with your will. Replace them with beliefs that align with what you say is good. I prayed that God changed my heart. And some things it was like I just kind of all of a sudden like had different perspectives. And then there are other things where it was through reading the word my perspective was changed. And there are other things through I had to face trials and situations that changed my view and changed my outlook. I had to be open to listening to other people. I had to be open to being wrong. We live in a society, we live in a world that doesn't want to hear that they're wrong, that wants to explain away and defend away every choice and action they're making, that is told that your truth is your truth. There are people who claim, I hold myself accountable and I'll admit when I'm wrong. But then you hold up the word of God and they say, well, what about this or what about this? God's word is truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life, and Jesus is the word made flesh. So if what you're saying is right and good goes against what God says is right and good in scripture, there's a humbling that needs to happen there, speaking from experience. My beliefs and how I live my life is based off of God's word, not off of my desires and what I want and what I feel, because the heart is deceptive and feelings are fleeting. And a couple of years ago, I would have said that was really ignorant, and I would have laughed at someone saying that. I would have said, like, oh, Christian nationalism or whatever. But I have seen the difference in my life. I have seen the love of Jesus. I have seen how Jesus can move when I am living obedient to God's word. God didn't just give us the Bible for funsies. He gave us the living, breathing word of God to live by, so that way we may be able to live more Christ-like, so that way we may know how to close doors to the devil, so that way when we are confronted in this world with the works of wickedness and the kingdom of darkness, we're able to discern it and we know how to move accordingly. To ignore it is folly and ignorance. And you'll experience it. I've shared with y'all, I experienced what it was like to deal with warfare and pain and suffering and all that when I had blatant open doors to the devil. And then when I listened to God's word, I was closing those doors, and wow, the difference I saw in my life. I'm not saying it was perfect. I'm not saying it was a cakewalk. But there was a justice that I hadn't seen before. There was a protection I hadn't seen before. There was a peace that surpassed all understanding I hadn't experienced before. There was an ability to trust in God and keep it pushing and keep it moving that I hadn't experienced before. And to the person who's listening to this today saying, yeah, I tried the Jesus way, did you? Did you really? The person saying, yeah, I tried surrendering to Christ. I've tried living a life surrendered to Christ. I grew up in church. I did this. I did that. Did you really, though? I'm speaking from experience, and I'm saying this from a place of love. If you are actively denying the flesh, seeking first Christ, seeking first the kingdom, if you are actively praying, humbling your heart, like softening your heart, you can, and you are truly encountering Jesus. You can know a lot about Jesus. You can memorize scripture. You can go to church all the time and not know Jesus. You cannot know Jesus and not be changed. I was one of those people that said, I tried church, I tried the Jesus way, I was confirmed, I did baptism, I did all these things, I went to church every Sunday, I did all that, you know, I prayed sometimes, I did these things. But when I look back at how I lived my life, I wasn't denying the flesh. I was partying every weekend, I was fornicating, I was gossiping, I was slandering, I was giving in to fear and opportunities when I should deny myself, I was denying myself. I wasn't trying to live according to God's word. I was trying to mold God's word to my lifestyle. I was looking at what scriptures fit what I already believe. How can I twist the scripture to mold into this? I wasn't molding myself to God's word. I wasn't submitting myself to God. I was expecting God's word to submit to me. And you could see it through my works. Going into witchcraft, going into divination, fornicating, immodesty. Someone needs to hear that today. Immodesty. Showing off your goodies is the physical, but there is also, there it's more than just showing off all those parts of your body. That is immodesty. The lustful speaking. The leaning into the sexuality and the sensuality and all that. The making a spectacle of yourself in that way. A modesty isn't just like showing off all your body. Because modesty first starts internally. Modesty first starts in your spirit, and then it's like an outward. I remember my modesty journey started with me feeling conviction and started with me seeing how my immodesty was actually negatively impacting me. How my immodesty was actually negatively impacting people's ability to hear God's word and see God through me. They were so busy looking at my body and looking at what I was showing off and looking at all that. It kind of negated what I was saying with God's word. And there are a lot of people who will get offended at me saying this, because there are a lot of people who are like, it's personal conviction. And sure, like the way that you dress is personal. Some people consider with their modesty convictions as it's, no, for me, I'm no crop tops. I don't do like the top, I don't do like the sleeveless shirts anymore. Coming from someone who used to wear the booty shorts, the sleeveless shirts, the crop top showing off everything, I didn't care. I don't do leggings that show off like my butt. But bathing suits, I'm a one-piece girly now that has like the skirts. For me, it's showing the skin and then also like the really tight fitting where you can trace all the curves. That's where my modesty goes. For some people, it's wearing only dresses and only skirts and like very loose flowing clothing. For some people, they'll wear the really tight fitting stuff, but it's just not stuff that shows their skin. The modesty, the way that you live out modesty looks different. It looks different. But modesty in itself is a conviction that should come in your walk with grace. It should. It should. If you are walking with Christ and you feel no type of way about being lustful, being sensual, being sexual, throwing it all out there, and this isn't from a judgmental space, is Christ really working in your heart? Are you softening your heart to his word? And I'll take this a step further. Where are you seeking validation from? And what is your identity? Is your identity rooted in Christ Jesus? Do you truly believe that like you were fearfully and wonderfully made in God's image? Do you believe that you're like as valuable and as precious as rubies? Does your view of like your worth and what you bring to the table and everything, is part of it rooted in the response and the reaction, the looks that you get from other people? Do you feel like what you have to say about Jesus, do you feel like the light of Jesus Christ coming out of you is enough to catch a man or a woman's attention? Or do you feel like you also have to have the goodies out and you have to be appearing some type of way? Now, it is important that we are well kept and well taken care of. Keep up on your hygiene. But are you allowing all of these physical things to play into part of your worth and what you feel you bring to the table? We know that beauty and charm is fleeting by reading scripture. It's what you have internally that matters. And I know that there's someone that's going to feel convicted hearing this today. And maybe you need to. And there's so many people that, and I'm one of those people that for a long time, out of not wanting to offend people, would say, well, mom, it's just a personal conviction. The way that you live out your modesty is a personal conviction. The way that you live it out. But being modest in itself, that's following the word of God. And if you're not feeling convicted any type of way about that, that's something to pray for God to soften your heart on. And if you are finding yourself only attracted to those kind of people, you find yourself rejecting men or women of God and leaning into the lustful, you need to take that to God. There's some work that needs to be done there too. And I'm speaking from experience on that one too, y'all. Remember, I'm going through the sanctification process. I am learning these things. The things I'm speaking to you guys on isn't just something I read and I haven't experienced. I'm speaking to y'all with this kind of enthusiasm and authority, but also love and an empathy because I've been there. I know what it's like to go through it. And if someone would have told me when I was dealing with my immodesty, like, oh, you're looking for attention, or you don't have your identity in Christ, I would have been like, you're stupid. Like, honestly, I would have deflected and I would have been like, no, that's not true, and I would have shut it down. But once I gave my life to Christ and I started listening to that modesty conviction and really did some reflecting and soul searching, I could see actually how those things were coming out in my immodesty. And how, even though I felt like, yeah, I know that I have a lot of good things inside and all that, I was actually relying a lot more on charm and beauty than I wanted to admit to. Charm being the way that you can flirt in the way that you can work with your words and the way that you can maneuver and being able to do that little smile, you know, being called a flirt. Charm is deceptive. Beauty is fleeting, but it's what you have going on internally that lasts forever. And that's what you need to be yoking yourself to when you're looking for a partner, y'all. Is that man or woman of God? Who's going to lead you closer to Christ? And that's not saying that physical attraction can't be there, but are they leading you closer to Christ? Are you feeling pushed more into your calling in a Christ-like way? Christ-like methods? Is your relationship with God being strengthened, being encouraged? I'm not saying the partner is perfect, but are they also pursuing first the kingdom of heaven? There's a difference between living it and saying it with their mouths. There's a difference between living it and just going to church or showing up to your Bible study with you. Where are they leading you to? We focused a lot today on words. Words are one thing, but sometimes it's the way someone lives their life. And that's what really points. That's the fruits, right? We talked about how you live your life and conduct yourself can point other people closer to Christ. Well, guess what? The way people live their lives and conduct themselves will also tell you what's really in their heart, what they're really pursuing, what is really influencing their decisions. Someone can be going to church and saying they love Jesus, but they're not being influenced by Jesus. They're being influenced by the world. They're being influenced by their flesh. I know it because I've been through it. I want to just get back to the root of this message, y'all. The way that you respond matters. The way that you live your life is ministry. So if you're only picking and choosing from the Bible, and you're living out some things and you're putting others to the wayside because they don't justify your flesh. They don't feel good to the flesh. They convict your lifestyle. They convict what you want and what you desire. You're not going to be pointing people closer to Jesus. You'll end up falling into that category of lukewarm Christian that pointed people away from the church and gave them church hurt, in all honesty. But there's also, I want to speak this to you right now. You can regain your fire for the Lord, and you can live a life obedient to God. You have to humble your heart and submit yourself to God's word, even if it goes against your flesh. There's a reason why scripture says many are called, but few are chosen. God calls us all. But there's a select few that'll actually deny their flesh and live it out. Are you going to be one of those people? It's not an easy walk. There's a reason why the road to destruction is wide. It's easy to follow. There's lots of people walking down. The road that leads to heaven, the road that leads to eternal life is narrow. And it's not taken by many people, comparatively. Which path are you going to take? I remember there was like this real lie when I was in New Age. I would hear people say, oh, the people who left New Age and went to Christianity are weak people that couldn't take it. Because in New Age, it's all about like witchcraft and things like that, and about like constantly healing and having spiritual awakenings. It's all about doing it on your own, right? And they would claim they're going to different deities, which are just demonic entities, and who could build a better demonic team, basically. And New Age in its root, like when you would have people saying things like that, there was a who's stronger. And when people would go to Christianity and submit their lives to Christ, they would call those people weak and say they couldn't handle the walk. They couldn't handle the path. They couldn't handle this. When actually, we aren't meant as beings, as God's creations, to do this alone. We know that through reading scripture, we are meant to get our strength from him. Ephesians 6, putting on the armor of God, we aren't meant to do spiritual warfare alone or with the demonic. We're meant to do it with God. And the enemy will say and do whatever he can to get in your head and to convince you not to do it with God. And that was one of the prime ways I saw it work in New Age. is where they would try to shame you for going to God and say, oh, well, you're just not strong enough, or well, you're just not this. Like trying to shame you for not relying on your own strength and not relying on your own control and going to God, which is doing exactly what you're supposed to do, is go to God. They saw it as a weakness to not rely on your own understanding. The enemy masquerades as an angel of light, and the things that will lead to separation and sin, the enemy will paint as the right way and the good way. And when you leave that behind and you go to Christ, he'll try to warp it. The devil, we know from reading scripture, he's the father of lies, and he only comes to lie, steal, kill, destroy. And it's crazy how that's like one of the real lies that we see going around New Age when people leave and go to Christianity. They're like, oh, they just couldn't handle it, or they just couldn't take it. But when I tell y'all, and I've already said this before, having God fighting for you, you don't have to worry about whether or not there's a victory, because Jesus Christ secured victory on the cross. There's already victory over darkness and death. When you give your life to Christ and you let God fight for you, you're joining the winning team. The devil will try to convince you otherwise, but that's why we put our faith in Jesus. We walk by faith, not by sight. So y'all, I think we're going to close off this podcast episode today. And I pray that whoever you are listening to this, wherever you are on your walk, that there is something that you've taken out of this today, this episode, and that this episode has ministered to you and helped you. And I want to thank you for listening to this episode. And I do ask that you hit subscribe wherever it is you're listening to this podcast. Share it on social media, share it with your friends, share it with your family, share it with whoever God is putting on your heart to share with. And I will see you guys next time. Have a blessed day.